Acts 13, that is the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, commencing with the 25th verse. That's page 234 if you have a small Bible. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, "Whom think ye that I am? I'm not he, but behold, there cometh after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you to fear God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem, and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead." Now let's turn to the 44th verse. "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed book that inspires and encourages and incites and enhances our faith and our spirit. We pray that the free course of the word of Lord may be presented in such a manner that men and women, boys and girls may embrace the sincere truth of the word. We pray humbly and ask in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Our subject is based and revolves around this tremendous passages of scripture related in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Now here is a gospel that appeals to all men. Now it seems apparent that Barnabas and Paul preached the gospel principally and primarily to the seed of Abraham. One would suppose of all the light, all the prophets, and all of the understanding, that they would embrace the Messiah and accept the gospel of Jesus. But contrary to all consensus, they blasphemed and rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a consequence, it was turned over to the Gentiles. And as a result, it affected me and it affected you. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ included you and me? Therefore, I would remind you, there is a warning lest we too refuse and would lose our spiritual soul. Now there are several areas of truth we like to present concerning this grand and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now what do you suppose, in a way of a question, is the word of this salvation and what it means to us in this 20th century? If you read that 23rd verse of scripture, you'll find here that Jesus is the promised Savior. Listen to this. "Of this man's seed hath God, according to prophecy, according to promise, that Jesus would be raised according to the scriptures." For this reason, the Apostle Paul and Peter preached forgiveness on the grounds of repentance, thus signifying there could be no repentance unless a man genuinely believes in Christ, genuinely repents, and then forgiveness of sin is forthcoming. Notice the scriptures, by him all that believe are justified from all things which it could not be justified by the law of Moses. To you is the word of this salvation sent. For I believe it is the spoken word of God. As if the Almighty God was here and his divine utterance is heard by every one of you. It's just as real and just as potent. For it reveals him who is the Word. For it was in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And by him all things that were made that are made. And I'm so glad for the powerful Word of God. It's the Word of our Savior. Why? Because it declares, it describes, it presents and presses home salvation to the uttermost part of the earth. It's a word that's sent according to the scripture. It's a mercy-affected gospel. It is sent primarily as a message of mercy. It's God's message to man. It's God's message declaring that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And it's the Holy Ghost that's sent to work salvation amongst men. Who amongst us can be saved? Saved by the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. How would I have ever known the way of truth, the way of salvation, had not the Holy Spirit of God quickened the Word of God to my heart? Even though living in total darkness and ignorance of the gospel of Jesus. But when the Holy Ghost put a knife of conviction in my soul, I responded to the gospel. You may say, how is this salvation sent? As I view the harmony gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as I observe the work and ministry of Jesus Christ, calling out 12 men and then 70 also, and there he commissioned them, he ordained them to preach the gospel to every creature. No doubt they would have questioned the Lord's integrity and said, now Lord, you expect us to take this gospel to those that crucified you? Yes, to those that crucified. Lord, you expect us to take it to these brutal, cruel soldiers that placed a spear in my side? Yes, even to the soldiers. To those that tried their best to destroy your influence? Yes. The gospel is to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I thank God that the Bible and through this written word of God is placed in home and in motels and in hotels, preached on the housetop, preached over the radio, preached via television, that men everywhere may realize the peculiarly significance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men might be saved. The gospel that is fitting for your need. It's pretty easy to shift responsibility. It's pretty easy to trample underfoot the Son of God. But when the gospel penetrates your heart and the Spirit of God talks to your spirit, it is time to embrace the truth. When the Jews heard it, they gnashed with their teeth. They blasphemed and they nodded their head in disgust. We will not embrace it. We will not accept it. As a result, it was taken away from them and transferred to the Gentiles. And I thank God that the Holy Ghost singled each one of us out. In the year of 1937 and 8 in the city of New Orleans, I found later that the Holy Spirit moved in that region around the New Orleans parish. Not only singled me out, but I later discovered that a host of other people born in this corrupt town, filthy and degraded and depraved, and saved scores of people in the city of New Orleans around that particular time. I thank God that He singled me out. You said, what position it places me under, Brother Baya? I've heard the gospel across the years. I've known better days. I've listened to my mother and my daddy. I've listened to a Sunday school teacher across the years. What position it places you under? Singular favor. Did you know that countless thousands of people have died and never had the opportunity that you have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? What position it places you under? A one of personal indebtedness. Do you realize that thousands of people suffered martyrdom, gave their lives that they might proclaim and propagate this gospel that I'm preaching to you tonight? No wonder the Apostle Paul said, I'm a debtor both to the Jews and to the Greeks, to the barbarians and to the Scythians. He realized a total responsibility in as much as he himself received the gospel. He was responsible to preach to others in a manner that he received it. And I believe that we are indebted. When I first got converted, I began to think of my own mother and my own dad. I thought about my own brothers and sisters. I thought about all of my kinfolk. I felt heavily upon my shoulders the debt I had to pay. And I think we're all indebted to the Christ. What position it places you under? One of hopefulness. The mere fact, all that we have to do is accept, believe, repent, turn, and live. Not necessarily because of your intellect, or because of your dogmatism or sincerity. You either accept or reject, and it determines life or death. It's just as simple as that. You must live. And I tell you, the only way you can really live is embrace the gospel of Jesus. Acknowledge you're a sinner, lost on the way to hell, condemned, damned, and without hope. Seeing the grandeur of the gospel as it unfolds, the Christ who died upon Calvary's tree, and turn to Him in faith. What position it places us under? One of serious responsibility. You know what the Bible said? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which of the first was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard Him? God speaking through the Word, confirming the Word, passing it down through generations. And even as the Spirit of God through the Holy Angel, confirming and testifying to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to neglect it will only determine your destiny. And friend, when you go on the outer darkness without hope, it's all because of your personal neglect. Now lastly, then how must I respond? How must we respond to the word of salvation? Listen, it must be an immediate response. It must be in the now. And your decision, your personal choice, the choice that you make tonight will determine your eternal destiny. That's how powerful this gospel is. And none of us can afford to neglect it. You said I may put it off. Remember, preacher, I'm only 18 or 19 years of age and I have time. Every time you respite, every time you put off, every time you delay, will only endanger your soul. And who wants to stand near a precipice to tumble over into eternal hell without hope and without God? You can see the danger that is so pending. You can play the hypocrite if you will. You can pretend to embrace it, like so many. But their acceptance is superficial. There is no depth. And because of that, there is no change, no concern, no turning around. I watch men and women across the years in a very shallow way embrace the gospel, got up from this altar with no apparent change. No wanting to do better. And I tell you, friend, when a person is genuinely, totally, the whole spirit, soul, and body of man is changed by the gospel of Jesus, it becomes rather noticeable. Church preachers say, you heard of Jimmy? My, my, what a drastic change. Notice the romance he had. Notice his enthusiasm. Notice his display of talent that he wants to use for the Lord. Friend, you may respond in quite a different way. You may even treat this gospel with scorn. You may treat it with contempt and say, oh, fogyism. You could trample on it and you can tamper with it. But I tell you, friends, it is suitable to all ages and to all time. Friend, even now. I remember reading some years ago, quite some time I would say, of a minister that was very concerned in conducting jail services. He had a tremendous church and congregation running 1,000 and more. So one of the wealthiest men of his church went to the prison with this minister. And as he preached the gospel, he preached it without fear or faith. He waxed eloquently. He presented line upon the line and precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. And his concluding remarks, he tried desperately to get people to embrace the gospel, to accept Christ, and to turn from their sinful ways. A few did accept, but after the service, that highly sophisticated, intelligent man said, Reverend, my, my, you put it on the line. You really told those men off. He said they should have all have accepted. He said, did it affect you? Have you accepted this gospel? He knew this man was a brilliant man. He knew something about the gospel. But he thought he can get by his intellect and his money and giving. He nodded his head to say, no, it didn't affect me. Listen to the word of God. Now to you is a word of this salvation sent. God bearing them witness. God bearing them witness. And I believe the Holy Ghost would accompany the gospel of Jesus and pierce and penetrate your heart. Does it affect you? What does the gospel mean to you? Jesus taking our sin, to good news bringing deliverance, how does it affect you? Have you accepted nonchalantly? You shrugging your shoulders, doesn't mean a thing to me. When the Jews looked and gnashed upon it with their teeth and nodded their head in disgust, they wheeled around and turned their backs upon the Israelites and the Jews and turned to the Gentiles. A happy turning that affects you and you and you and me. Aren't you glad for the gospel of Jesus? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For it pleased God by the foolishness of this preaching the gospel to save everyone that believeth. Thus receiving the gospel with meekness that you might affect your soul. Shall we pray? Everyone, let's pray very humbly and very sincerely.